grandpa took little Johnny by the hand and decided to go for a little walk. He didn't go in the normal direction. He went four blocks one way and three blocks another and still two blocks. And when they were out a pretty good distance, he looked at his little 3.5-year-old grandson and he said, "Now, Johnny, do you know where you are?" He looked around and said, no, Grandpa, I don't. He said, "Do you know how to get home?" He said, no, Grandpa, I don't. He said, "Well, then you must be lost." And he smiled and looked up to his grandfather and grabbed his hand and said, "I can't be lost. I'm with you, Grandpa. I'm with you." The disciples are worried about the fact that Jesus will now leave them. Jesus is informing them that he's going to go. They're worried. They won't have that presence of Jesus directly that they're looking at. They won't have his voice telling them that. But Jesus says to them immediately, "No, I will send you the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you." The very first reading that we have with Paul and Barnabas, there was a significant thing that happened here in the church. We kind of take it for granted now, but it was a monumental decision, and it was a decision based upon the Spirit. Do we impose the Judaic law upon these Gentiles who are coming into the church? And so who do they go to? They go to the apostles. They go to the apostolic tradition, the apostles. And the apostles, what did they do? They pray. And in praying, they open themselves up and receive the Spirit, and the Spirit directs them not to impose the Judaic law upon the new converts, the Gentiles. I say it's a significant thing because here we have the beginning of the establishment of that which is our faith. It's significant because it's not the fact that this was just an extension of the old covenant, but this was the new covenant now based upon the sacrifice of Jesus given to us. We sometimes will take a look at the church and we will characterize the church as just an institution, an organization. And you'll hear that from many people, especially when the teaching comes in and challenges the status quo or challenges an ideology that is being put forth. One of the great communication leaders of the last century was Fulton Sheen. Fulton Sheen would get up and he would captivize the audiences by his preaching. Sheen said that the theological problem of our day is the understanding of the church. We have a tendency to take the church and make it like all other institutions. Oh, it's an institution, of course, but not like all other institutions. And why? Because of what we hear immediately Jesus saying in the gospel, "I am going to send you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit." And where does the Holy Spirit reside? Resides in the church that's founded by Jesus Christ, which is our faith. Think about it. What are we here today? We are the body of Christ. A body, once it's animated, once it receives the Spirit, is a living reality. The living reality of Jesus in this world is seen through us in the church, the proclamation of the way we go forward, how we proclaim our allegiance to that Christ in this world. It's always interesting in these post-Easter narratives in the gospel that we see the disciples and the apostles change. And they do change, there's no doubt about it. You take a look at Peter in the Gospels as he's presented. What did he do? He declares Jesus at Caesarea Philippi as the Messiah sent by God. And then in that very same passage, when Jesus said the Messiah must go up and suffer and die, he tells Jesus to keep quiet because that's going to push people away. Here is the Peter who denies Jesus three times, frightened and scared, and abandons him at Calvary. Now, where is this Peter? This Peter now is proclaiming the Lord. This is now Paul, who persecuted the new Christians, changed and transformed because he encounters Christ on the road to Damascus. Changes. And then the wonderful aspect about all of these witnesses to the Lord is when they are grabbed a hold of, they are pulled in, and sometimes flogged, and ridiculed, and persecuted, they walk out from there praising God and thanking him that they were found worthy to suffer for him. Suffer for him. If someone tells you that they love you, they've got to be willing to sacrifice and suffer for you, with you. One constant aspect of this Eucharist that we share, the Mass that we have, is a constant demonstration of God's love for us over and over again. It is willingness to sacrifice and give himself to us, to turn himself over to us so that we can take him and do what? Go out and proclaim him in the world. Now there's a connection in terms of the church, our historical connection. What's happening in the early church carries with it and develops to this church that we embrace today. So it's wonderful now that you're celebrating the 800th year of the death, anniversary of the death of St. Dominic. Now, I'm old enough to remember in 1963 when those singing nuns came out, remember that? Dominique, and actually kind of was nominated, received a Grammy and was nominated also for Song of the Year. And it was about your saint. And it was a little, kind of a wonderful little jaunty type of song that these sisters sang about the role of Dominic. And what was the role of Dominic? Going out and preaching God in a joyful and wonderful manner. Going out and preaching the Lord and calling people to understand. And also going out and attacking the ideology of its day, the Albigensians. Who are the Albigensians? The Albigensians said, hey, you know, there was an evil God that created matter, and there was a good God that created the spirit. Jesus comes as from the good God as spiritual, but not material. Church goes, no, 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 no. God gives us the material. God created us. God created the things. And although individuals can use them for bad purposes or bad sense, it is the fact that God created this matter in this world for good. And we are called to take a look at the goods that we have and to use them to give praise to God, to single them out and call forth his presence. And we do so constantly in the way we act charitably towards our brothers and sisters, in the way we take our own lives and form and fashion them so that they can be witnesses to others in the world. So it is the blending of the matter and the spiritual which is present. The blending of the two which is present. Jesus, true God and true man. The blending of the material and the spiritual. And Dominic went about challenging it. And intellectually he did so. So one of the great intellectual orders of the church is the Dominicans. I owe them a little bit. My doctorate in canon law comes from the Angelicum, which is the Dominican school in Rome. And I know what type of dedication they had. And they produced one of the greatest intellectual thinkers of Western civilization, which is Thomas Aquinas. It's using our understanding. It's taking that teaching and integrating it into our lives, and it's living for Christ. This was Dominic, living for Christ, taking a look and challenging those who would want to separate or divide us, challenging those by the truth which is held out. Wonderful aspect in terms of Dominic was at his death, surrounded by individuals who were from basically his order, knowing that he was dying. Instead of feeling sorry for himself and weeping and crying, he looked at them and said, "You know, in a few moments I'll be able to help you more in the next world than I can even in this one." It was not someone who was looking at oblivion, this was someone who was looking at embracing the Lord totally and completely. You do that as a community here at St. Dominic's. You embrace the Lord when you come here and you receive that Eucharist, when you come here and you pray, when you come here together and join in a loving presentation of the Lord, you do so. You carry out that tradition of Dominic. You become preachers to the communities that you're a part of, to your families, to your businesses, and to the entire society. So I ask St. Dominic, especially today, for his intercession, to bless you in your continued fervor of embracing the Lord, knowing that you're never lost when you're in his hand and listening to his church as the Spirit is revealed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.